Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Last week, in our study of 2 Timothy chapter 4, we were talking about Spirit-filled preaching and what it included. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Spirit-filled preaching preaches against and names sin. It also preaches obedience to the Word, the Great Commission, as seen in Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things, that is, obey. And it tells of judgment to come. It preaches of a hell. We find that Jesus spoke on the subject of hell more than any other person listed in the Bible. Notice verse 13 of this same chapter of John 16. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit leads to preaching on future events according to the Word of God. Not as according to the blind leading the blind or the blind trying to read the tea leaves. I find it interesting that the Iranians claimed last year to have made a machine that can predict the next 8 years of your life. That tells us their machine is better than God in their sight. And no wonder they would think that, because they don't know the God of the Bible. Now, back to our text. If a man of God preaches the Word of God, he must preach it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it will include preaching against sin. It'll preach obedience to God and of judgment to come. The so-called positive-only preaching crowd does not do that. They end up on Sunday morning only with a rock concert and talk of community service. The command in that case, when the church is that way, is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Wherefore, right now, right where you are, wherefore, come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I, that is God, I will receive you. God says, get out of that church. So, you see, the Holy Spirit will have the pastor, the preacher, the evangelist, preach what Jesus preached. We see in Mark 1:14-15, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and preach the gospel. He said in Luke 13:3-5, preach the same thing in those two verses, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repent. Well, since there are no standards, since there are no sins today, he's telling them to repent of doing good, I guess. If that's the way you want to believe, then you got to say, tell them to repent of doing good. How ridiculous can we be? Now, we look at these two verses, and they set the stage for the next two verses. You see, in verse 1, the pastor is given a charge, and he will be told it's an order which he will give an account before God at his appearing and the kingdom. And then in verse 2, he is given that military type of command for which he will give an account. He is told to preach the word. And the Greek word for word is logos. It has the idea of all the word. Don't hold back on any part of the whole counsel of God. Acts chapter 20 shows the apostle speaking to a group of pastors, and as he has seen them for the last time this side of heaven, listen to his instruction to them. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He preached the whole counsel of God. Take heed. Oh, watch out. Be careful. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. I have a plaque on my pulpit that has Acts 20:28 over it, because I see that as a very serious charge to feed the flock of God over which the Lord hath made me an overseer. So we're to preach, that is, herald the word. Let all hear. And we notice it was in season, out of season. God knows no seasons. It is an everlasting season, whether conditions are favorable or not. Mostly this side of heaven for us, they're not. And the pastor is even told how he is to preach. Isn't that interesting? We're told about the importance of the Word of God, and then next we're told how we're to preach the Word of God. So you don't have to guess at it. You don't have to say, well, this is the style a guy should preach, or he should preach that stuff. No, let the Bible tell us. He is to reprove. This is rebuke that leads to a person's confession of sin, or at least to the conviction of sin in his heart, to where he either accepts it or rejects it. After that, the preacher is also to rebuke. Here in verse 2, which is the idea of severe, sharp rebuke with the suggestion of coming penalty. Now understand, we say that God is love. We say that no one loved more than Jesus loved. When he preached to the Pharisees and scribes, he called them vipers, whited sepulchers, liars, deceivers. I mean, hatters. He really threw the book at him. Is that because he hated them? No. He hated their deed, but he loved them, hoping that they'd get convicted about their sin and repent. Preach hard against sin in hopes that those people will get saved. If they don't repent of sin, they're not going to get saved. You can get them to join the church and say, I believe Jesus died for me and rose from the dead, but the devils believe that. They even tremble. No, there needs to be a realization I'm a sinner. Jesus came to die for my sin, to save me from my sin. And so we need to see that we want to repent of sin. We want him to cleanse us by his blood from our sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So we need to make sure we rebuke. The Greek scholars tell us the word rebuke and has the idea of a censure, a blame, and a charge against. And you do it even in the face of opposition that maybe they don't see, but they need to see. And the goal is to bring them to repentance. So we reprove, we rebuke, and then we're also, when we preach, we're to exhort, which is the idea of strongly urging them to do the right thing. Witness. Be faithful to church. Separation from worldliness. Having standards. Loving the brethren. Telling the truth. Tithing. And on we could go down the line. And we're to do it with long suffering. That is patiently continuing, although you may be hated for preaching that way and taking those kind of stands. Don't give in to the whims of the spirit of this age. Rather stick with the Spirit of God. Be like Samuel. Everybody wanted a king, but Samuel told him, okay, if you get a king, this is what's going to happen. He told them they're wrong, and he didn't say, hey, yeah, you know, that's a great idea. Why don't we do that? No, he told them they're wrong. He says, this is what's going to happen, and everything he said happened. But we're also to preach there, he says, doctrine. This is teaching from the Word of God to address the issues of sin, righteousness, and of judgment to come. Now you may wonder, why preach it that way? Why not be positive only and not hit sin? Specifically, when public opinion lists you as hateful and someone to be avoided and ignorant, etc., etc. Listen, there are people that are promoting homosexual marriage. They're trying to teach this in kindergarten. They want sex education in kindergarten. I'm going to preach against homosexuality. I'm going to call Islamic terrorism, Islamic terrorism. It's sin. It's murderous. It's filthy before God. We're going to call sin, sin. But so are the sins of the tongue, gossip, busybodies, and on we could go down along that. And those are terrible in God's sight. So we see that God expects us to preach the whole counsel of God. So now look at verse 3. He says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." The time will come. I think he's talking about the days before the rapture, that they will not endure sound doctrine. Time has the idea of a season. There's coming a time before the rapture, they'll hate Bible preaching. They'll want it shut off. I mean, they want to stop it. That's why now they want Christ out of Christmas. They don't even want the word Christmas up there anymore. That's why they don't want you to pray in Jesus' name in any public place. That's why they don't want you to give out a tract to anybody. That's why more and more they're talking about reaching into the churches now. And if you preach against sins such as homosexuality, if you preach against sins of drug use and other things, then, oh my, you have committed an abomination. And that is abominable to the devil, but it's righteous in God's sight. In Isaiah chapter 30 and verses 9 through 12, we see that that's what happened to Israel before its fall. Notice that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, "See not," and to the prophets, "Prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path." By the way, Jesus said the path that we go on is straight, not gay, it's straight, and it's narrow, narrow, because the Holy One of Israel, now he goes on to say, "cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us." Don't preach to us the holy standard and expectations of God is what they're saying. Then verse 12, he says, "Therefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word," that is, because you hate the preaching that names your sin and calls you to do righteousness and talks about the judgment to come, because you hate that and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon. Now, my friend, you become fervent for the truth and you preach the truth in love. Folks will fault your fervency as losing your cool, losing your temper.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.